This episode of the Bad Crypto Podcast is brought to you by 1inch.exchange, DeFi's leading DEX aggregator that discovers the best trade prices across all DEXs. Voting on blockchain. It's a topic we've referenced many times in the past. Is it a good idea? Is it safe? Is it secure? Will it make you sexier? Today, we welcome Eloisa Marcassoni and Giacomo Arcaro to the show to discuss this controversial topic. With the election still being disputed, it's a good time for something we can all agree on. And after 3.5 years of doing this show, we're still bad. So this is episode number 475 of the Bad Crypto Podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition.
Who's bad?
Sir Lord Travis Wright, I cast my vote for you to say something funny.
I was just going to cast my vote to say Happy New Year to everybody, as this is the very first time you've heard our voices in the new year with new content. I mean, you might have listened to an old episode, but, you know, or you might have tuned into us on Clubhouse, but chances are this is the first time you've heard us this year. So thank you for starting off 2021 bad.
It's fresh. Fresh, exciting. Yeah, welcome to the Bad Crypto Podcast. Joel Comm here.
And I am still Travis Wright, 3.5 years later. And we got a great show for you today, folks. We've talked about this before. We've talked about voting, as Mr. Joel Comm mentioned. Actually, that's one of the things that sort of brought us together to do Bad Crypto. We, you know, when the 2016 election happened, people were complaining about stuff. And we said, well, we can complain or we can find a solution. How about voter ID and blockchain, maybe, as a way to potentially make the voting system a little better? And I think it, it's fair to say it actually got worse.
Here to make things better or better. Better, something like that. This episode brought to you by 1inch Exchange. They're a decentralized exchange aggregator, so they source liquidity from all the top DEXs, and it saves you money and time on all of your swaps. Basically, it's smart DEX. It finds the best possible trading paths and splits them up to get you the best value and bang for your buck. I recommend you go take a look at it instead of using Uniswap. This will optimize your gas. There's an intuitive new UI. You can swap on 1inch version 2 today at badco.in/1inch. And it's the number 1inch. badco.in/1inch.
They're very modest over there at 1inch. I mean, yeah. You think it'd be like, welcome to the 12-inch exchange. You mean it's be a little more bragger.
Could be bragger 1 centimeter. I mean, you know. Just goes to show you, size doesn't matter, but in this case, speed does. And it's pretty cool. They did a free drop to people on Christmas Day, to those who had been using their exchange. It was a surprise, and kind of like Uniswap did their surprise drop to people.
Very nice. I saw, aren't they doing something with Binance? I saw a tweet about, this doesn't look like 1inch. I saw a CZ tweeting about it. So is it something on Binance?
I don't know.
All right.
Maybe. Could be.
So you guys have heard us talk about Electronium in the past, and they have gained a lot of adoption, especially with their mobile-first payment solutions around the world. There are about 4 million people worldwide who are using Electronium, and there's 140-plus countries where users can actually top up their mobile phones with cell minutes in 140 countries, and they can top up their home electricity in 4 countries, which is really cool if they have some, you know, ETN tokens. If they don't have any ETN tokens, well, that's where anytask.com comes in. There are thousands of freelancers there that are earning ETN tokens by doing your tasks. So if you need any digital tasks done, there are thousands of high quality tasks that start at just $1, and you can find amazing freelancers for your business or for your project or for your NFT project or your school project or wherever you need some graphics or some cool things done. Anytask.com can empower that. And it's brought to you by Electronium, which we're big fans of.
Big fans of the Electronium. Check them out at anytask.com. I think I just wrote them a little ditty there that they can use. A little anytask ditty.
They need a ditty.
made on.
You know, somebody on Anytask could take the ditty and make it a real ditty, and then we could hear it.
Like if they voice tuned it, right? Yeah. Voice tune my little ditty there. Somebody go ahead and take that for $1. $1, you can voice ditty that right there. All right, Diddy Server Joel. Travis Wright, we have talked a lot about voting on blockchain, and today we've got two people that are very enthusiastic about this notion. We had a really fascinating conversation with them, and what say we get down to it? Well, unless you've been living in a cave, and cavemen do that, you would know that not too long ago, there was an election in the United States of America.
There and was? Some would, I've never heard anything about that. When did that happen?
Oh, yeah. Sir Lord Travis, we had an election, and okay. I think we have a president. I don't know if we do or not. By the time this airs, we may not have any government. I don't know. But there's so many problems in the arena of voting. And, you know, for several years now, we've talked about how blockchain could resolve these issues that we have with voter fraud and all the questionable ballots that are out there. And today we have with us two people that are going to discuss that very topic. Ms. Eloisa Marcassoni she's a young gun in the crypto world, and yet she is advising, you know, dozens of startups. And we've got the number one European growth hacker, according to Forbes, with us as well, Giacomo Arcaro.
Hi, everyone. Nice
big Italian names. Hey, Pasta Fazul.
Perfetto. Meraviglioso.
Nice. Welcome to Bad Crypto, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Let's. I want to hear more about your background just a little bit so we can set the stage here for our listeners. Eloisa, why don't you go first and just give us the short version of your background and your fascination and involvement with crypto.
Sure. So as you said, I'm quite young, just turned 23 now. And I started out when I was an average, you know, student university going to an equivalent of an American Ivy League college in Italy. And I was just tired of getting my straight A's and not being in the crypto and blockchain curve yet. And so I jumped.
Wait, did you say you were tired of getting straight A's?
I was just tired.
My grades are so good. It sucks. I hate it.
It sucks because, you know, they tell you in university that is the way to sort of control your life and become a huge McKinsey partner in management consulting. But they never tell you about the interesting stuff, which was happening outside university doors. And so I just had to get my hands on it. Of course, slowed down on my studies, my straight A's, you know, they were not always so straight. But I became involved in so many startups in the blockchain space. And then there was a point where I just didn't want my interest to be vertical on one specific project. And at the time, Giacomo Arcaro here with me was, you know, just trending on my LinkedIn feed. It was quite annoying, but if I had to go to someone and get mentorship and get started on advisory, it was him. And so I sort of stalked him across social media until he held a speech in Milan. That's where we met and started advising together the startups. And I guess, you know, he's still doing the growth hacking a lot, and I'm trying to tie up the startups with the institutions, which is why voter fraud and the voting system is so important for me. That could be a starting point.
What about you, Jockey? That's what your friends call you, right?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. Yes. My background, it's a story of hacking, private jets, failures, police, not FBI yet, since I was living in Italy. But we have FBI like 55 floors below. So yeah, my life was pretty complicated. I was sick of taking all these. So that's why I dropped. I didn't drop the university. I got graduated with the lowest point ever. My mom was crying. So after that, I started with my first startup and I failed. So my mom keep on trying. Then I done my second one, my third one, my fourth one, failing, failing, failing. So my dad started to cry as well. So I had my whole family that was crying. But I told them that one day I will make the money I've lost in the last years. And this happened thanks to the blockchain and Bitcoin and ICOs and SDOs and all the business related to the blockchain. Because once I met Eloisa, we teamed up Growth Hacking Squad. We started by helping companies collecting users by using unconventional ways, like cracking and hacking LinkedIn in a better way. It was legit. But by doing that, one day, I think 2 years ago, in one day, I made all the money I lost in the past. So I give back the money my parents lent it to me, and now we are living here in New York City on the Trump Tower. That's why the elections.
Very nice. So mom and dad and grandma, they're not crying anymore.
No, they are crying because I'm spending my days by buying expensive watches. So they're not happy with that.
So. Like, Jack, what are you doing? Come on, what are you going to be buying these expensive things here? Save money.
Yes, pretty.
And you're like, no, mom, you don't understand. Bitcoin's at $23,000 right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy all the watches.
Yeah, well, they're cooking lasagna, you know.
Oh, that's good. I had lasagna last night for dinner. That was good. I love
lasagna. Oh, cool.
I've actually tasted lasagna in at least 20 countries, including Italy. And the best lasagna I've ever had was outside of Lisbon, Portugal, near this like 1,100-year-old castle. It was amazing. Oh, best, cool. It was so cheesy and delicious. I would eat it all the time if I lived there.
The name is Pasticcio Belém. No, is that one the name of the lasagna in Portugal? Pasticcio Belém? No,
not sure. I asked for lasagna and they gave it to me. I said lasagna and they said okay, no problem, and they brought it. Okay. To me. So just to give you guys a little bit of feedback on Joel and our journey of bad crypto. So 2016 happened, right? And there was a subset of people who were really complaining about the election and, oh, the Russians hacked the election and, oh, WikiLeaks released all this information about Hillary Clinton and John Podesta's email got hacked. Well, John Podesta, he left his phone in a taxi and his password was password with an at sign. So it wasn't so secure. Like, I think my kid could have hacked it. But people were so freaking out about, oh, this and that. I'm like, well, quit complaining and let's find solutions. And so I wrote an article on Huffington Post. This was in December of 2016, all about, you know, the election, Trump, Hillary, Putin, WikiLeaks, what it all means, and blockchain. And it seemed to me that we need to have voter ID of some sort that's, you know, provable, right? Because right now, with these mail-in voting things, there was such a huge amount of problems in a lot of different states. And some people are just completely blindly ignoring it, right? It's like, oh, I didn't see any fraud going on. But, you know, if you dive in, you can see there's just multiple amounts of endpoints that could be manipulated if need be. And we need to find a solution that can eliminate that. And so we were discussing about blockchain and voter ID could potentially be a solution. But here we are in 2020, and now the election is even more crazy than it was in 2016. And here we are, right? We're in between the election and we're in between the inauguration right now. It's actually the 17th of December when we're recording this. And so tell us, like, what are some of your thoughts on blockchain and voting and voter ID and how can technology save us from tyranny?
I'm very big on not as much on the crypto aspect of all the blockchain applications, like the cryptocurrencies, but I'm much more enthusiastic about how blockchain can be integrated in a smart city context. And right now we are actually seeing the gaps that need to be filled in such way. And I believe that any citizen should have a digital ID on the blockchain that it sort of allows the citizen to show his or her different face, depending on what they're trying to do with regards to their relations with the government or with the institutions. So, you know, when they're in need of healthcare services, they can just decide to show that aspect of their identity. And same thing when going to vote. You know, the blockchain makes it easier for the citizen to just show whatever is needed for verification of their age and their citizenship and so on.
So are you suggesting that we have an ID that is that the government supplies, but the government doesn't have access to the data in that ID? Only we can unlock certain parts of it with a key?
I mean, there's going to be higher levels. There's going to be, of course, different levels of permissions. But the higher level, of course, should have permission to anything. There is a point on which you got to trust the institutions that are made up of people that you are electing. Otherwise, there's no point even in delegating the power to someone. So there's no point. There will be no point in democracy. So there's got to be trust there that the people at the highest level of government need to have full access. But anyone else, they're going to have access and permissions based on smart contracts and based on whatever are the conditions that you yourself need to agree with in the first place. And of course, protocols like, you know, the zero knowledge proof, they're going to be useful. I was actually having a discussion over that with Vitalik himself on Twitter. He seems to be pretty active. The thing is that there are a lot of proof of concepts, a lot of, you know, great ideas that still have not been put in place. And we need some validation in the real life. So that's what I'm waiting for. Yeah.
What do you think about that, Giacomo? Some of this blockchain and voting type of stuff, because it's, you know, some people I've had conversations with some people who say, no, blockchain really shouldn't be used. You should use more like sort of how GitHub uses its repositories and some sort. But what is the best solution? Because whatever we're doing right now, it seems like we should go back to paper votes and counting by manually, because you know, whenever you can send in a ballot, it scans it, and then it keeps that that scanned ballot image, and then they go in and scan the ballot again. Like, what's stopping them from scanning it and scanning it and scanning it and scanning the same? I mean, it seems to me to be a broken system that can easily be cheated, and nobody's doing anything to fix it.
Yeah, I think the best solution would be the anarchy.
Anarchy. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. It's the problem is that it's the source of the vote on the people that is the problem. Even if you go on a blockchain, there will be a bunch of ways to hack it. So where are you going to vote? Through your computer? No, because it's hackable. Live with a pen and then transcript everything on a blockchain. Yes, but you can transcript whatever you want. Like it happened. So it's more a problem. It's more about the name. This problem is the Oracle problem, which is okay, blockchain for registering voting, but how you're going to place your vote? It's how, because if you're going to vote at your home, you can be easily manipulated. And it doesn't matter if you register your vote through the blockchain if you have been manipulated. So some researches shows that most of the people decide to vote like in the cabin pool, in the cabin pool. So it's if
or
you're
the booth,
the you booth, know. Yeah. So if we're going to vote through our mobile app, we can be easily manipulated with a message on WhatsApp, and we know that it can be done. So it's not a problem on how we do register the votes, but it's a problem on.
I mean, America can go. We can use our phones to vote for the next American Idol, and get millions of votes gets tabulated within a minute.
So important too.
Yeah, I did it. I did it. I was paying for doing that in an Italian talk show. And you just buy SIM cards, and you buy votes, and it's cool. You buy VPS. You know, in India, they have like walls of mobile phones.
I've seen those, and they just all go.
You can't do nothing with that. But the question is, by doing an account on Coinbase, they are asking you like a 2 hours interview, and by voting, it's just a pen with a piece of paper and people are counting manually.
Yeah, there's no KML, there's not anti-money laundering thing when it comes to voting. There's no know your voter.
Yeah,
no. Some places they don't even check an ID at all.
Yeah, come on,
but there's no voter fraud. Travis, there's
sure, no I don't know. I guess, honestly,
I'm just going to say this and unabashedly, if you don't think that there's voter fraud out there, you've got to have your head so far up your posterior that it's coming out the other side and you're seeing the sun shining again. I mean, it's got to be like a full 360 on that. That's how
because here's the thing. I've talked to some really intelligent people who've never heard of any of this because not only is there voter fraud, but there's also the media suppression angle of things, where some people's filter bubbles are so tightly wound that they don't, that some of that stuff never even makes it into their perception because they're not looking outside their filter bubble. They're looking for confirmation of their bias, right? They're not looking for additional information that disproves what they already think. And one of my favorite, well, there's two favorite quotes on this is, I believe it was Stalin who said, "I don't care who votes for who. All I care about is who counts the votes." Mm-hmm. Who's the one who's counting the votes? That's who we need to be worrying about, right? And then Mark Twain had a great quote of saying, "Well, it's easy to fool people, but it's much harder to convince people they've been fooled." And so, you know, because once you've been fooled with all this indoctrination and all this propaganda and you start believing alternative versions of the truth, then it's really hard for you to even work through your own sort of programming to get to the point where you can even see some of this stuff.
Manipulation, you can always have that. I mean, it's a different question, I think. And that was not much on how the vote should be registered, but rather how the voting right should be spent, because a voting right is our value here, and it is our unit of value, and it must be represented by some sort of, I don't know, like a token even, which only grants you access to one vote and only to you personally. You cannot, and thanks to the blockchain, you cannot have double spending of that vote on your end. And you cannot, the smart contract can be programmed as such that you cannot transfer your token and so your voting right to someone else that then is going to vote, you know, pretending to be you. So
a non-transferable NFT, Joel.
Yeah,
sort of. Yeah.
Redeemable.
So that's the proof of concept that's been going around mostly and that we've been discussing. The fact that, you know, it seems so ideally good that I don't know about what the failures will be when someone will try to integrate it into the real world. And that's where we're going to need a lot of deployment techniques to handle the failures, because it is not like any startup project. You know, if something like that fails, even in a small point, then it's a voter failure.
There was an article not too long ago that we covered on our news on CoinDesk, and we'll put a link to it in the show notes. And it talked about a study coming out of MIT. And those, I don't know if you guys saw this paper or not, but it was released November 6th by four people at MIT, one of them from Harvard. And it's titled "Going from Bad to Worse, from Internet Voting to Blockchain Voting." And basically they say that it adds more issues then it fixes. And one of the report's authors said, quote, "I haven't yet seen a blockchain system that I would trust with a county fair jelly bean count, much less a presidential election." What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's what I'm worried about. You know, I was very, very enthusiastic about a solution on the blockchain. But when discussing with fellow experts, I was just seeing these discussions become more and more just so abstract that now I am not so confident that in the short term we're going to see anything fully running on blockchain. For sure, it solves some issues, but I don't know.
Do you agree with the authors that it's still problematic?
I've got mixed feelings. You know, maybe a couple months ago, I would have been, I would have had arguments completely against this MIT study, but now I've got mixed feelings. So I'm not. I don't fully agree. I do want to see it at least run in a minimum viable ecosystem. You know, it could be any small elections. Like, let's start small, like county.
Dog catcher. Yeah, let's have a dog catcher election on blockchain. Mm. That's a good place to start.
Not a bad idea. I do love the idea of, like, well, I'm thinking about this, but, you know, having it be a non-fungible token, because it's almost like if everybody in the country had a voter ID, and that ID was attached to a blockchain in some way, and everybody got that one token, that's their voting token, but it's non-transferable. I can't send it to somebody. I can't sell it to anybody. And then I can vote, and then I can see that there's some sort of cookie or something that I can go in and see, oh, look, this, I have voted, and then I can go and look at my votes, but somehow they're not connected back to my ID publicly, so everybody else can't see who I voted for, but I can see that my vote is there and my votes are accurate. Because the thing that concerns me is that I make my votes for who I want to vote for. And then the system in the back end, they can go in and do that. What is it called? Adjudication. They were saying in some places, like there was one county in Arizona, I believe, 94% of the votes were adjudicated, which means, oh, they voted and they go, oh, these were wrong. And then so some administrator went in and changed the votes to whatever the votes they thought they were going to be. That's what adjudication means. Oh, these votes need to be examined. And so is there a solution? I mean, I don't know. It seems like it's not available yet, but like it seems like there could be if somebody put enough brain power towards it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I had an idea on that, which is we should do like an average in the 4 years of the likes and the comments and the shares we do on our social media, and social media has to be pegged to our national ID with blockchain, of course. We should make an average and let's decide the algorithm, which is better than us, what is, if you are left or right. That's because if you ask anyone why did they voted Trump or Biden, they will reply you because I love Trump, because I hate Trump, because people didn't vote Biden. They vote against Trump. But if you ask them any of the law they are proposing, they don't know why to vote Trump or Biden. So. But they know that they do like that law, they liked that interview, so they click like, comment, and shares. And if you go back on your history of like and comment, and there's an option you can do on Facebook, there's some programs and softwares that can tell you if you are from one side or the other. I did it in Italy for 4 years ago for the elections, and it was right. So.
Well, sure, because you're giving them all of your data. You're telling them exactly what you like and dislike. It's super easy. Are you saying that we should vote by our likes, comments, and shares on social media?
Yeah, but you okay. You're already giving data to Facebook, Twitter, and right. LinkedIn, and the other by getting back nothing. In this way, you will get back your vote, so you know who you are voting and why.
So like a suggestion based on sentiment analysis, is that what you're saying?
Like, yes, but it will be correct.
I think it might be better for polling, because you know what? You get these bullshit polls where they call 100 people and the ones they call just happen to like the candidate they like. And so it's like, oh, 94% chance that Hillary's going to win. And look at this. All the polls say Hillary's going to win. And like, wait a second. No, if you did an analysis on, oh, look at how many followers that Trump has or how many likes that Trump has. I even did this on Facebook. I saw hey, here are all my friends who like Biden, and there's like 107 of them. And then here's all my friends who like Trump, and there's like 800 of them. And then, but that's just my unique filter bubble. Yeah. I would almost bet money that if I go into those 107 people that like Biden, a lot of their friends probably like Biden, because there's this, a whole sort of circle group think thing going on, right?
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, you cannot have what I think what you suggested, because then your vote becomes sort of like a product of this sentiment analysis. Yeah. But most of the times, the contents that you're shown are filtered already by your social media, because they want you to keep inside of your, you know, your echo chamber and your bubble. So
yes, that's
how
what
do
we
you
are
know
doing.
That, yeah, but how do you know that your vote then that you're casting based on what you've liked is really truly something that you would have casted in the booth if it's just based on sentiment analysis in your already filtered bubble? That's
Yeah, you can't. It's always the same old story of manipulating votes and people with the fake news. And
yeah, but at least when you go in the booth, you're still given the final choice. You know, it's you and yourself.
As long as your vote doesn't get switched by some adjudication that you are aware of.
Yeah, but we'll be switched by people that is counting.
So I'm much more about the non-fungible solution, because then your vote can be tracked basically, and after it's done, your token just gets burned, and that's it.
Okay, but to do that, you have to have national ID of some kind.
Yeah, of course. Right? Of course.
Okay, so here's, I want to hear your answer to this question. In the United States, you need an ID to buy booze, to buy cigarettes, to open a bank account, to apply for food stamps, to get welfare, to get Medicaid, unemployment, to buy a house, to rent a car, to get on an airplane, to get married, to buy a gun, to adopt a pet, to rent a hotel room. Yeah. You need to show ID. And of course,
I actually need a special ID because I'm in Missouri and now I need a special ID to be able to fly. It's got to have this star on it now, or my passport. I can't even use my regular driver's license.
Star. You got to have to buy cold medicines of some kinds that have whatever they use to make some of the weird, you know, concoctions that that they make for drugs. You have to have an ID. And yet there's people out there that say voter ID disenfranchises some voters. What do you think?
All we're speaking about is proving your identity, and that no one can sort of lie about that. So
right, but there's people that, there's politicians that say, oh, you can't enforce a voter ID because some say it's racist, which I find really insulting to whatever race they think it's being racist against, because it says you're, you know, too dumb to get a voter ID. And I don't think that people are.
Well, yeah, of course, that's outside the tech space and in question. That's like moral and philosophical. So, yeah, of course, I'm with you on that. I don't know what's Giacomo's take on it.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah, so I don't know, but that's like a regulatory framework question. Anyways, you know, even to contribute to regulatory changes, blockchain can be a nice solution to really make sure that everyone is being heard, and that decisions are made based also on, you know, what the minorities are thinking, and that their take on it is not being somehow hidden or censored from those polls.
Crazy. It's a crazy world, folks. That's one of the things that's like, we got to get this solved, because I mean, as Joel mentioned, disenfranchising is happening all across both parties now, because last I seen, it's like 40 some percent of Democrats think that the election was manipulated in some way. And like Republicans think it's like 70 or 80% of Republicans think that's over half of America who thinks that the election was there's some dirty shenanigans going on. And so you think about it, then you start seeing the research on this, guys, and then you look and you see, okay, well, these voting machines have been used in Venezuela, they've been used in Ecuador, they've been used in Ukraine and Belarus, and then some of these other countries around Europe. I mean, I don't know if Italy was using some of those as well, but it's like they can use these voting machines and these fake votes and behind the scenes tabulate it so that whoever their preferred candidate wins everywhere around the world. Then we end up getting these these leaders all in place all around the world who have the same ideology, but it's not representative of the people's opinions. That's dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
It's the biggest democracy danger.
Well, I guess we will see how things pan out here. I'm not confident that the voting systems that we're using are leading to true democracy, and I don't know where this is all going to pan out, but I certainly think that blockchain is promising. Why don't you each go ahead and share a website or a place of contact for anybody that wants to get in touch with you?
Okay, you can find us on our Instagram at Giacomo Arcaro.
Yes, and at Eloisa_Marchesoni.
And y'all don't have to worry about spelling that. All you got to do is go to our show notes for this episode. We'll have all the links there, as well as links to that MIT report that I referenced. Eloisa and Giacomo, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you for having us. And one last thought that I had, you know, even if we're not going to see blockchain really in the voting system, at least taken as an inspiration for a new type of governance.
And I want to leave you guys with a sound, which is the sound of Bitcoin, which is hitting 23,000. And this is the sound.
Oh, that's paper. Is that a $100 bill you just shredded?
Oh, he's ripping a $100 bill.
You know, you didn't have to shred an actual $100 bill, Max Kaiser style. You could have just taken a piece of paper. Since we're not doing video, nobody would have ever seen that. But just so you guys know, that was a real $100 bill that that Jockey just shred there.
Yeah. What you can do though is grab all those together, tape them, and go take them back to the bank, and they'll switch out a new one.
Yeah.
As long as you have 51% of the bill, they'll replace it for you.
Okay. I'll do that. Let me grab the rest. Okay.
Yeah. That was great.
Thanks, Eloisa and Giacomo. We appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with us. And here we are, Travis, just really, it's still, you know, beginning of January, and we don't know the final results. I mean, what's going to happen with this election? Everybody's standing by to see, are they going to turn up enough fraud? Or is Joe Biden going to enter the White House? It's really, I've never seen anything like this in our lifetime.
Yeah. It's been really wild. I've been paying attention to it because you see, you have Trump out there telling everybody to come to DC on the 6th. Right. And then they've uncovered the thing that gets me, I don't care if you think there's election fraud or not, or which team you're on. All I know is, based on the data, there's 134 million registered voters in America as of November 2020, and Trump got 71 million votes and Biden got 80 something million votes. That's more than 134 million.
Did so you just tell math? Me that
everybody who was registered as a voter voted and 20 million more people voted? Like, how's there's more votes than there are registered voters in America?
You just mathed.
I know, it's crazy to me. And then people go, oh, there's no evidence of fraud. I'm like, there's no evidence of fraud. Okay, but there's evidence of fuckery. Because that math does not add up. How is there 134 million registered voters and 71 million of them voted, 74 million voted for Trump? There you take the math on that, and there's only like 59 million left, and then all of a sudden Biden got 80-something million votes. So there's some math problems with that, folks. Mm. And I don't care what side you're on. That's just facts.
You know what else is a fact is that in some exchanges, there's not transparency. See how he ducked right out of
like
that.
Our elections.
I just ducked right out of
nice
that.
Nice segue.
Well,
it's
you
almost
should.
Like you're like mall, like the mall, Paul Blart, the mall cop on the segue.
You got to know what's going on at your exchange of choice, and decentralized exchanges bring all kinds of benefits. Transparency is just one of them. A notable up-and-coming DEX is the Lattice Exchange. They are designed to deliver on transparency and provide features that set the standard for industry-leading DEX platforms. We've had the guys here on the show before. They're built on the Constellation Hypergraph network, low to no fees, lightning fast transactions, offering a competitive advantage with security and transparency not available on centralized exchanges. You want to find out more about them? Go to lattice.exchange, L-A-T-T-I-C-E, lattice.exchange. Join their fast growing community on Telegram. Get in the know, you know, or my name's not Joe Wool.
Very nice.
Sir Lord Travis Wright, I'm glad to be starting this new year with you as we enter into further our journey. I mean, we're basically 3.5 years in on this show. And when we started, there was only a handful of crypto podcasts. Now there's a fistful of them, and you have choices of where you can get your crypto infotainment, and we're glad that you've chosen here.
Yeah, you know, because that's one of the things we're very thankful for all of y'all who tune in. And what we think is fun about it is that, you know, we're not just being podcasters and just broadcasting about what's going on. We're actually out there trying to move and create and innovate in the space to, you know, to bring about mass adoption. We've had, you know, really big, you know, virtual crypto conference with the virtual blockchain week we did last year. You know, we launched the podcast Proof of Listening Token. So if you listen to our show, you'd get some crypto tokens. We've launched, you know, a bunch of NFTs. We're partnering with Upland now to do an NFT series with them. We're on the Wax Advisory Board now, and we're working with different, you know, projects that are coming on. And, you know, and now we got this social token that's coming out too. We're going to tell you guys a little bit more about a little later on as this develops. So we're not just broadcasting. We're out here moving and trying to develop and create and make the whole space better.
Indeed we are. And it's made better by you guys being here. So thanks for listening. Please do be sure to go review, subscribe, share, tell a friend, tell an enemy, make a friend of them, or make them more of an enemy when they go, that show's really bad. Whatever it is you want to do. We'll catch you on the next episode. And until then, please stay. The Bad Crypto Podcast is a production of Bad Crypto LLC. The content of the show, the videos, and the website is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. It's not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, or trading advice of any kind. You shouldn't make any decisions as to finances, investing, trading, or anything else based on this information without undertaking independent due diligence and consultation with a professional financial advisor. Please understand that the trading of Bitcoins and alternative cryptocurrencies have potential risks involved. Anyone wishing to invest in any of the currencies or tokens mentioned on this podcast should first seek their own independent professional financial advisor.
Oh, won't you stay?
What's that?
Level up, stay badder, like even worse. 2021, even worse.